In the opening seconds of Jennifer Brea's stunning new documentary, we hear her grunting, then slowly see her dragging herself across the floor with the camera she's using to film herself.
Oh, God. Ah!
Later, she's in a wheelchair, struck by piercing pain. Her attentive husband, Omar Wasso, struggles to help her, but she can't speak.
I can't understand, love.
Jen Brea was a Harvard PhD candidate and vibrant world traveler who now couldn't get out of bed. It took a year and a half to find a doctor who realized she had the neuroimmune condition myalgic encephalomyelitis, ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome. From her bed, through her laptop, she recorded some of the millions of other ME sufferers around the world, and doctors like Nancy Klimas of Miami's Veterans Administration.
Inside every cell, there's your energy-making machine. It's called a mitochondria. So in this illness, each individual cell can have real problems capturing the things they need that your body uses to make energy, like oxygen and glucose. At a cellular level, you become less and less effective, like a wound-down clock.
Jennifer Brea's film is Unrest. It will be shown on PBS next Monday, and she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Tell us what this is.
This is a disease that I had never even heard of. Frequently, you get sick, usually after an infection, and then you can spend anywhere from several months to 5 years or more trying to find a diagnosis. Many patients are disbelieved that they're even sick at all. And so, so many of us have gone online to try to find each other.
This is something that is historical, that women have been told they're hysterical.
Well, I think the core challenge is that very few medical schools even have this as part of their curriculum. When a patient comes in with the symptoms that I had, they don't know how to diagnose you. They can start to blame you. You know, patients can have a number of different symptoms, but the core symptoms we all share is something called post-exertional malaise, or PEM. And this basically means that when we exert ourselves either physically or mentally past a certain limit, we crash and all of our symptoms get worse. And what they're starting to find now in kind of laboratory studies is that it's because we have this very low threshold of kind of aerobic energy. So you can imagine an athlete when they're running really hard, they will start to get kind of lactic acid in their muscles and they'll start to feel achy. And that can happen to someone like me if I just stand up and walk across the room. You know, some patients are mildly affected, so they may hit their limit working full time and have to spend the weekends in bed to recover. For someone who's very severe, it might even be too much effort to be able to feed themselves or even get out of bed at all.
Yeah. Then in the 80s, there was an outbreak in Incline Village, Nevada. They thought it was an outbreak of mononucleosis on a girls' basketball team.
There have actually been about 70 outbreaks documented in medical journals, the largest of which was in Incline Village, Nevada. And when the CDC came out to investigate and ended up deciding that, you know, it was probably a case of mass hysteria, you know, out of the 80s, we had this sort of horrible name, chronic fatigue syndrome, which I think has really served to obscure the reality of this disease. It's a disease that is twice as common as multiple sclerosis and, you know, on average can be even more debilitating. And yet we get almost no research funding and no access to medical care.
Well, but as you said, you have access to each other. Let's listen. There's a sort of a montage of people from around the world talking about this.
Yeah, I'm completely bedridden. I've lost the ability to walk.
I crawl from my bed to my bathroom and I just think, this is my life. What?
It's the cognitive problems that are the most disabling.
I live in a dark room 24/7.
How much did that help to connect with other people with ME?
It was everything. You know, as I was getting sicker and sicker and didn't know what was happening to me, I was really scared, and I also didn't know how I was going to survive it because I knew that there are people who, you know, are never able to get well enough to leave their bedrooms again. And I needed to, you know, on the one hand, keep fighting to get better and keep searching for treatments, and at the same time, try to accept the fact that maybe I would never improve. And if I didn't, what meaning could my life have? And I think in that community, I came to learn that it is still possible to be a person, to be a human being.
Well, I was so touched by Jessica, She has the bones of a 100-year-old, completely debilitated.
I remember my 16th birthday in bed and remember my 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st.
You also meet Ron Davis, who is professor of biochemistry and genetics and director of the Stanford Genome Technology Center at Stanford. He's working with, you know, Nobel laureates. They're frustrated because they can't get their research peer-reviewed and they can't get funding from the government. And in his case, it just becomes heartbreaking because his son Whitney is so debilitated by ME, he can't even eat. Here's Dr. Davis.
I'm working against the clock. How much time does he have? When I get to the point where some of his organs start shutting down or something like that, I worry about that.
I mean, just, it does remind me of the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. Families had these children in back rooms that they were trying to help. And that's what this reminds me of. Are we any closer to a cure, to something to relieve this?
I mean, I think it's been really hard for me to, I'm sorry, hang on 1 second.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. The way you framed the question was so perceptive that I'm a little bit hit by it, but in a good way. I think it's absolutely analogous to the early days of HIV. I mean, these are very different epidemics. This one doesn't always kill, but can kill. But it's invisible, and so very, very hard to see. And so we do have literally millions of people around the world who are hidden in their homes and bedrooms. And I think the thing that is so heartbreaking to me is looking back at all of the decades that were lost and wasted, not believing patients, not trying to find an answer. I think the good news is that now there are more labs working on researching this disease. There are labs at UCSD, Columbia, Harvard, Cornell. The challenge is that the funding, the investment that the National Institute of Health is putting into this disease is still not remotely commensurate to the scientific interest and just how many people are affected and how debilitating the disease is. But I think the thing that gives me the most hope is that we now know so much more about a wide variety of infectious and autoimmune conditions from the last 30 years of investment in those diseases. And so because of that, there are already drugs on the market. I'm taking some of them, actually, that could benefit patients if we were able to do large-scale trials and give people access.
One way to see the impact of this, obviously we see you throughout the film, and you're very brave. I mean, you just put yourself out there. But we also watch your husband, Omar Wasso, well-known in several circles for BlackPlanet.com, the social media website for African Americans. He's one of the leading voices for a long time on the use of social media. Let's listen to a scene when he breaks down, you know, what it's like to stand next to somebody and have to watch them go through this. Let's listen.
You know what it is? It's that people feel sorry for me. And I don't know why that.
Baby, I'm so sorry.
It's a nerve.
I think the hardest thing for me about living with this disease was actually watching Omar and what he was going through. When we got married, we thought that, you know, in sickness and in health would mean, you know, when we're 80, and our, you know, when our, and that we wouldn't sort of be facing those questions at the beginning of our lives together. It is really hard for him because for a very long time, you know, he was my caretaker, just cooking and cleaning and taking care of me and sitting by my bed and holding my hand when I was in an extraordinary amount of pain. And I think the hardest thing for him was that helplessness. And I think the thing that we always wonder about is what happens to all of those people who don't have someone to care for them, you know, and I've heard so many stories of people who just disappear, who either commit suicide or end up homeless because of this.
There's one part of the film where, again, you're talking to people from around the world and they swear they have found the cure.
I have the cure to motherfucking chronic fatigue.
I cured my chronic fatigue with a high-carb vegan diet.
Started eating the good foods, the whole foods.
Two dietary supplements that can really, really help.
Omar and I took this approach where, you know, we were willing to try anything that could potentially help and was unlikely to harm just to see if it would work. 10 or 20 things, you find one thing that actually truly does help. And, you know, I'm really lucky to say today that, you know, I am no longer bedridden. I'm still profoundly affected and I need to use a wheelchair to leave my house, but I can go outside in the world and travel and do some of the things that I used to love. And that really has been through this very slow process of, you know, self-experimentation, you know, and also working with doctors and really putting together those pieces of a protocol over a long period of time.
And pushing for funding for a cure.
Yeah, and pushing for funding for a cure. There's still so much work to be done.
That's Jennifer Brea. Her documentary about the neuroimmune condition ME, or chronic fatigue syndrome, is called Unrest. It will air on PBS next Monday. Jen, thank you and best of luck.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And again, after you see this film, you will never call it just fatigue again. The film Unrest, directed and produced by Jennifer Brea, after her GoFundMe campaign. What has ME CFS meant to you? Let us know. HereAndNow.org.